Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into N5D Radio, the next dimension in radio, where we bring you the hottest, in-depth, spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric conversations and news with your hosts, Greg Prescott and Kendra Gilbert. Get ready for spirit, body, and mind to expand in 3, 2, 1.
Namaste, and welcome to N5D Radio, coming to you from the 99% Quartz Crystal Sands of Sarasota, Florida, every Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and 12 a.m. midnight in the U.K. And I've got a nasty echo going on here. I'm your host, Greg Prescott from N5D.com, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be raising the vibration of the planet, galaxy, and universe. Tonight, Jordan Maxwell will be returning as our guest, and he'll be taking your calls at 646-716-8890. And next week, we'll be talking to Lavendar about how to find your starseed markings on your birth chart. But first, I'd like to bring in my co-host, coming to you from Ocala, Florida, licensed massage therapist, energy worker, and artist, Kendra Gilbert. How are you doing tonight, Kendra?
Doing great, Greg. How are you?
Outstanding. What's going on in the news?
Oh, well, in tonight's news, we got Senomix, a biotech company that produces artificial flavor enhancers. They've been in the spotlight for some time now as they've been publicly identified as using human aborted fetal cells to develop their savory, sweet, and salt flavor ingredients. They claim that this is going to help them reduce the use of MSG, sugar, and salts used in food and beverage products. And, of course, they also claim that this is being done with the concern of the public's health in mind. While this might seem good in the eyes of many, there's also still a very disturbing fact present that the company is gaining profits, enormous profits, by a woman's choice to end the life of her unborn child. In itself, abortion has raised many moral, ethical, and spiritual issues. But you know, by profiting from the end result of a decision made to terminate a life, I mean, it's really hardly anything that my taste buds personally need to be a part of. Furthermore, how many people really know that this is even being done? I mean, this is pretty sneaky, folks. By them calling these cells HEC cells, which stand for human embryonic kidney 293 cells and also referred to as the 293 cells, it literally goes under the radar of most people. Much like the diseased horse meat ending up in our fast food burgers under the ingredient code name meat filler. I mean, we really need to be aware of not only what's in our food, but also not be so easily deceived by words such as natural, nutritious, low sugar, etc. We become too trusting and, sorry to say, lazy to grow our own food and even research the companies for ourselves before just digging in. Of course, their research is showing that the actual fetal cells don't end up in the final food product, which I honestly have a very hard time trusting in that. I mean, if the HEC cells are found anywhere in the products at all that, you know, that they're creating, you're eating it. So what I also find a little bit disturbing also is that the same cells are being put into a grand majority of the vaccines that are being injected into not only our kids, but also the adult population. Like, for instance, the ever-growing popular shingles shot. Now, I thought that this research was being done to enhance flavor for a good cause, you know, the health of humanity, right? So what's it doing in vaccines? Why are they so hell-bent on getting these cells inside of us? So the next time you read your label and it says natural flavor, you might just want to start thinking about what the word natural means to you and then do some more research and see what it means to the company that you're buying it from. For more information about this, as well as a comprehensive list of companies that uses aborted fetal cells as a flavoring, you can find a link on www.n5d.com/news under the July 8th, 2013 news feed headline. Back to you, Greg.
And just a reminder, n5d.com will be hosting our first annual Return to Atlantis conference here in Sarasota, Florida on the 99% Quartz Crystal Sands of Lido Key Beach on the weekend of October 4th. Through the 6th, 2013. We have 6 high vibrational speakers lined up, including Lisa Renee, Teal Scott, Laura Eisenhower, Dr. Dream, astrologer Tom K. Pacha Lesher, and galactic historian Andrew Bartzis, who has the rare ability to read universal and individual Akashic records. Included in this amazing event is a Friday night new moon beach galactivation, a Saturday night cosmic reunion beach party, and on Sunday night we're all going to meet at the Siesta Key Drum Circle. Our speakers will be featured from late morning until mid-afternoon, so that'll leave everyone plenty of time to go enjoy our Florida beaches or to go sightseeing. We've already sold quite a few seats, and there are only 90 tickets available to this event. There's a good chance it'll sell out before the end of September, and when this happens, you'll still be able to view this online through live stream. You can find out more info about this Return to Atlantis conference by visiting www.n5devents.com or click the link below this video. So we're right now we're waiting for Jordan Maxwell to call in. He should be calling in any second. You know, getting back to what you were saying before, Kendra, about the natural flavoring, there was something on that I posted on N5D News a few days ago, and it involved apparently the natural flavoring of raspberry and how it's being derived from the secretions of beavers.
Yeah, gotta love that.
Yeah, I thought, well, you know, that's kind of bizarre. You know, beaver secretions for flavoring, but yet it's still natural because that's a natural product apparently of the beaver. So just makes you go wonder what the hell is going on here.
Got that right.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, we're waiting for Jordan to call in. Matter of fact, I see him right there. Jordan is with us now. So Kendra, if you'd like to introduce him.
Sure, wonderful. Well, our guest tonight is well known to many of us. He is known for his years of dedicated research.
So,
almost
on,
an entire
half. I'm just on the radio. I'm just letting you know what I'm doing. It's fine. I'm just on the radio. So what do you need? Hello.
Hello, Jordan. Hi. I was just introducing
Hi there.
You to our.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi.
Hi there.
Yeah. Yeah, Kendra was doing your introduction as we speak.
Okay.
Okay.
If you want to finish it, you can.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, our guest tonight is well known to many of us. He's known for his years of dedicated research, almost an entire half century worth, in the fields of occult, religious philosophy, secret societies, symbolism, world mysteries, astrotheology, and the list certainly doesn't end there. He has participated in dozens of interviews, written and produced eye-opening and awakening documentary films and television shows. Humanity owes him a huge debt of gratitude for his major role in the awakening process. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Mr. Jordan Maxwell back to N5D Radio. Hello, Jordan. How are you?
Well, fine. Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Jordan, for being on. You have a huge following here on N5D Radio. We've interviewed some of the biggest names in this genre, and by far, our interview with you has been the most viewed on YouTube. So thank you for sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you for asking me. I don't feel much like a star, though.
Oh, well, you've helped to enlighten millions of people, and we're very grateful for that.
Well, thank you.
Ultimately, in your opinion, is there a human Earth-based entity at the top of the pyramid, or is it possible that there's a malevolent extraterrestrial controlling all of us and living off of our energy?
Well, it's what you're asking me is a subjective opinion, but it's just my opinion looking at this stuff for a long time. I think that there's a spiritual or cosmic proportions to what's going on the Earth. I don't think it's all human. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that there's all the ancient religions of the world talk about demons and devils and sons of God. And the Jewish religion has a whole plethora of all kinds of demons and spirits, and Christianity has the same thing. And even in Islam, they talk about the jinns, the spirit entities who are here. And, of course, there's a lot of talk today, or finally around the world, about space aliens, etc. But all of this seems to point to the idea that we're not alone on this planet. But the problem is you can't see these entities because they're spirit, or at least that's the term we give it. It's they're just as like Art Bell says, they're just as much here as you are. It's just that they are in spirit and you don't see them. And so I'm assuming that they're probably not from here. Or they could be indigenous to this planet, you know, for millions of years. We just didn't know it. And I believe that we are probably their creation. That's a whole nother subject about who we are and where we came from. You know, so, but ultimately, I think at the end of the day, that's what's going on here. We have some kind of a spiritual presence that's driving us into the ground and destroying us. So somebody created us, but somebody's here to now to destroy the whole human race, to take away our freedoms, to rob us of our humanity, to sell us into the ground. And so I'm really afraid for the future, because I don't think people, generally speaking, understand the significance of the times in which they're living. So.
Jordan, I think that's a concern that a lot of us have, is, you know, what the future is actually going to be holding for humanity. I've watched many of your presentations, and I personally believe that the Anunnaki or the Elohim are involved in something to do with humanity. Whether they're responsible for the creation of the human race or not, is, you know, like you say, it's an opinion at this point. But let's just say that the Anunnaki are the creators of the human race. What does that creation include, in your opinion? Are they just claiming the creation and the rights over our biological 3D bodies? Or are these beings, in your opinion, do you feel that they are even trying to take credit for the soul's creation as well?
Well, you know, what I have come to believe is that there's whoever created us have one agenda in mind, but it seems as though that there could be other entities who have come from other areas in the universe who have heard about this this experiment going on this particular planet and have come down from out there to see what's going on, and now have found a whole series of life forms here, and now these entities who have come from somewhere else have found us, and now they want to come in and play the games too. They want to come in and move in on the human creation. And so there may be good ones and bad ones. There may be different, you know, it may be different gangs, so to speak, who are here now and looking at what's going on this particular planet and have differing agendas. I mean, it's like, you know, like gang pulls into one gang moves into another gang's territory, and there's going to be bloodshed, there's going to be violence, and so I would be a bit surprised if that's what's happening to us. The Earth was obviously designed to hold life, and the whole of creation implies that we are, you know, designed to be here. But maybe there's other entities who have come from somewhere else who stopped by and saw what's going on, and now they're moving in, and they're trying to destroy what someone else's was, you know, designed us to do. Others have come in and trying to destroy it, because what I'm seeing now everywhere, all over the world, is destruction. Period. To destroy the human emotions, destroy the human integrity of the human, to destroy their minds, their spiritual foundations, to destroy everything. That's what I see. I see our government and governments all around the world are totally out of control to stop humans from thinking, to stop them from talking, to stop them from doing anything to enhance the human family. It's frightening. So I'm totally sure that this is not totally human. I don't see how humans could do this to their fellow man. So it's got to be some kind of an outside force that is causing the destruction of the human family. And make no mistake about it, we are in fact being attacked right now. I mean, you can't even, in the supposedly the freest country in the world, you are now in a totalitarian fascist dictatorship which has not been rivaled even in Nazi Germany. And so it's all over the world now, all over the earth. The human race is under attack. And so I'm sure that there's a spiritual dynamics to this. Something else is going on. It's not just corrupt people and corrupt governments. It's something even worse.
Do you feel then that there's a hero on the way? I mean, if the true creator or what we believe is in control, there's got to be some kind of hierarchy at the top. At least in my heart, I hope that there is. But because of free will, if they never step in, is humanity ever going to break free from its enslavement? Feel that there's a hero?
Well, again, that's just my opinion, but I don't think so. I don't think we have the ability to break free. I don't think we as humans, I don't think it's in our nature to break free. And I say that knowing that at least the last 7,000 years of human history have taught me that we do not have the ability in our nature as humans to break away from tyranny. Ludwig von Mises, the great European economist, in one of his books said that the human race, and it's true what he said the human race is now, has always and always will submit to a dictator. The human race has always supported a dictator. It does now and it always will. Until the support of the dictator becomes more burdensome than his overthrow. So what I'm saying is that the human race has always, always supported dictators. You can see that in the Catholic Church, how hundreds of millions of people crawl on their knees to the Holy Father. You can see that in Arabia, where hundreds of millions of people crawl on their knees to these incredibly dark religions of Allah and Yahweh, and in the name of God, killing and murdering by the millions all over the world. So I don't really see that the human race as an entity on the earth has the ability to think for itself and stand up for what's right. I don't think we ever have. I don't think we're doing it now, and I don't think we ever will. I think it is in the nature of us to be slaves. You know, and today, in America, supposedly the freest country in the world, we got more people in prisons and jails than the whole rest of the world put together. So I don't think America is the answer to freedom, liberty, and justice for all. I don't think America's got it. I think we are living in a police state. I think we are living in a prison planet. And I don't think, and I'm being very brash about it, but I don't think the human race has what it takes to get out of this mess. I think it's going to take something outside of us because we just don't have it. That's all there is to it. We don't have it. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think the human race today, like the animals, it reminds me of the animals out in the Serengeti Plains of Africa. There are tens of thousands of water buffalo out there, tens of thousands of zebras, all these huge migrating herds of animals. And all they're doing is they're looking for water, they're looking for food, they're out grazing. They're minding their own business. They have no knowledge about why they're here. They have no understanding how they got here. They don't know where they're going. All they're doing is just living from one day to the next and doing what they normally do, which is nothing. But the lions are different. They are highly organized. There's only a couple of them, but they're extremely well organized, and they are very, very clever about crawling into high grass and calculating their moves. And when they strike, when the lions strike, the tens of thousands of animals just go in all directions. They are, what's the word, when they're stampeding. And so that's what the human race is like. We, you know, millions in America, over 350 million people in America. And we can't even come up with a conclusion as to how we got in the mess we're in. And most people don't even care anyway. And it has nothing to do with football or basketball. So as long as it has, our situation has nothing to do with sports or television, nobody cares. Like George Carlin said, nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody's worrying about it. So I don't really think that America can be saved. I don't think the world can be saved. I think that there's going to have to be some kind of intervention from the outside to save the creation of the human family, because we are really, truly too far gone. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Well, you know, a lot of people are finally, though, waking up to the fact that religion is all about subservience, control, and conformity. And thanks to your research, you've helped to awaken millions of people, so I think we're heading in the right direction.
Well, I'm sure we are. I just don't know if we're going to get there in time, you know, because I have people telling me all the time, well, look at people are waking up all over the world. And I say to that, yes, people, that's what happens in a prison. Every morning, all the prisoners wake up in the morning, and then they find out, you know, that they're in prison. So that's what's happening. People are awakening now all around the world to find out they're in a prison, and it's evil. It's very dark, and it's very demonic, and it's very depraved. But nobody knows how to get out of it. Nobody knows what to do about it. And the reason why is because knowledge is power. And the people have no knowledge as to what's going on or how it works, where it came from. I've been looking at it for 53 years. I know exactly where this stuff has come from. I know precisely what Obama really is. I know precisely where the Bushes came from. I know where the money comes from. I know what the name of the tune is. I've studied the world of the occult, and there's nothing. It's nothing to hide. It's all right there. But people couldn't care less. You know, they love Obama. They love dictatorships and totalitarian fascist dictatorships. So as far as I'm concerned, at 73 years old, I've watched the whole world go by. I've watched people waking up only to discover that they are, you know, there's nothing they're going to be able to do about it. Because remember, we're living in a democracy, a world democracy. The whole world is a democracy now. And it's a left-wing democracy. And democracy means demos, democracy. Demos in Latin, I mean, demos in Greek is a mob in the streets. So when there's a terrible riot in the streets, we call it a demonstration or a mob rule. And so demonstration gives us democracy. So democracy is the mob rule. So the way it works is very simple. If you can get hundreds of millions of people to believe something and vote on it, and then they put you into power because they believe something, the propaganda that you fed to them, and they believed it. Now that you are in power, it doesn't matter what their laws are. It doesn't matter if there's a constitution or a bill of rights or laws or regulations or anything. It doesn't matter. I got elected by the people. Therefore, that means I can do any damn thing I please, any time I please, period. And if you don't like it, I'll throw you into prison, cut your fingers off, I'll torture you, because I can do whatever I please because I got the majority of people voting for me, and if you don't like it, speak up. And therefore, we are a democracy. Now, the way America was founded, we were founded as a constitutional republic, not a democracy. Democracy, that's why all communist countries are called democracies. You've got the People's Republic, the People's Democratic Republic of China, People's Democratic Republic of Cuba, People's Democratic Republic of North Korea, People's Democratic Republic. Democratic Republic means communism, Marxist-Leninist communism, totalitarian fascist dictatorship, throwing people into prisons, assassinations, murdering, killing for hire. That's what democracy means, mob rule. You know what a mob is like in the streets when it's totally out of control? Well, that's what we've got now. All over the world, government is out of control. It's a democracy. So the rule of law and order and the rule of intelligence and spirituality and the protection of the weak and protection of women and children – and insanity and truth and liberty and justice, etc., all of that's gone. Period. It's gone. It's over. But the problem is, from my viewpoint, it's never coming back. It's never coming back. It's gone for good. So at this point, I'm looking at the cosmic problems of the planet. It's bigger than politics now. It's bigger than the human race. Whatever's going on right now is extremely evil, extremely diabolical, demonic, and depraved. And so we're seeing the destruction of civilization. And I'm just amazed. I never thought I would ever see this. But here it is. It's with us now.
Well, you know, the UFO Disclosure Project showed us how UFOs have destroyed nuclear warheads. So is it possible that there are benevolent entities that are watching over us?
Well, I think that is interesting, because I've heard that many times, and I think there's something to that. But I think that they were probably, these entities, whoever they are, having superior technology, obviously, they're doing that to protect themselves, because they see this Earth is filled with lunatics, with mentally deranged morons who are developing bigger and bigger weapons, atomic weapons. And so in order to protect the rest of the universe from us, they are, you know, curbing our enthusiasm, and they're doing something to shut us down. But it's not to protect the good people of the Earth. I think it's to protect themselves out there. They know if you don't stop these people, these entities we call Earthlings, if you don't stop them now, they're going to bring their bombs out here into, you know, to the moon. They're going to take it out into space and start blowing everybody up. And so I think that if there are extraterrestrials here, which I'm sure there is, and they are shutting down silos, which I'm sure they are, because I've talked to the people who worked in them, I think they're doing it to protect themselves, not to protect us. Because I know we're too far gone, but my God, you got to do something about this human race. I mean, these people are out of control. So go down there and at least whatever they're going to be able to do to send it out into space, shut that down, you know.
You know, one of the main things I think on most of our minds is if we're going to even make it through whatever's coming. I mean, whether it's a war of the world, war of the gods, an astrological event. But, you know,
right.
When we look to the scriptures, you know, for prophecy, I mean, we're told that the meek is going to inherit the earth. Who are the meek, in your opinion?
the meek will inherit the earth, because after these people get through with it, nobody else is going to want it. I don't know how to look at that particular scripture. I know that I believe that the New Testament is an encoded message. And I think the whole Bible is a metaphor, but especially the New Testament story of Jesus is, in no doubt in my mind, is a symbolic metaphor. It's an encoded story. And so when I read things like that, the meek will inherit the earth, I don't know how to view that particular scripture, because it sure does not seem that the meek are going to inherit anything but hell on earth, you know, because that's the way humanity operates. You need to get your own army. You need to be you need to be tougher and meaner than everybody else in order to run the show. So the guys at the top of the world today are the most diabolical, demonic, depraved, merciless entities on the face of the earth, and they are in control of the earth. And unfortunately, most people today, especially as it true today, the human race has just lost its bearing. We've lost our integrity. We've lost our jobs. We've lost our homes. And now we're just losing our minds. And now Hollywood is helping and working around the clock to drive us into the sea. They're driving the human race into insanity. All you have to do is watch the movies coming out of Hollywood. And there's a whole science to the occult order of Hollywood. There's an entire science to it. Watch, you know, for instance, I'll give you an example. Most people never thought of this. But every time there's a Republican president, all of Hollywood starts putting out anti-communist films. And when you get a Democratic president in, then you will begin to see a lot of movies coming out of Hollywood are anti-Nazi films. The reason for that is because the left is, of course, Marxist-Leninism. That's what we have today, is a Marxist-Leninist communist government. And therefore, their enemy was, of course, the Nazis during the Second World War. So Hollywood is now pumping out anti-Nazi movies. But when you have a Republican president in, those are the Nazis. And now you will have anti-communist films, anti-Soviet films. It's just amazing how many people don't realize the Republican Party, well, as we know it today, was formed back in 1946, 47, 48, 49, right around that era of time. After the Second World War, the United States started bringing in, quietly, nobody knew it, but the U.S. was bringing in all the top Nazis, all the theoreticians, all the scientists, physicists, astrophysicists, all of the political scientists that the Nazis had. They were bringing them in here, giving them safe passage, and brought them into America and put them into the Republican Party. That's a fact, that the United States government brought in thousands of the top Nazi theoreticians and masterminds of the Nazi regime, brought them into America, and they began to quietly join the Republican Party. So that today, the Republican Party is pure, unadulterated Nazism. All these words, the terms, the symbols, the emblems it uses, the colors, the terms, it's Nazism in your face. Unless, of course, you don't know anything about Nazism, if you've never studied it, so you wouldn't know the symbols and the terms that the Nazis use. You wouldn't understand the symbols on the national coat of arms of the Nazi Party in Nazi Germany. But if you understand the Nazi movement and you've studied it, then you can see it in the Republican Party. Their words, the terms, what they're saying, and the colors you're using, it's just amazing. And so I know that there's no hope for America because, like the Bible says, that the human race is like an ocean, like waves on the ocean. They're just flowing here, they're flowing there, they're flowing here, and they're flowing there. And that's exactly what's happening. The biblical description is correct. Millions of people will turn to the Democratic Party and elect a man who's going to save the world, and then they find out he's nothing but a communist, Marxist-Leninist. Then they discover that, well, now they will all turn around now and go vote for somebody else. And then they find out he's a member of the Nazi Party and the SS and the Gestapo, and he's in bed with the Vatican. And then they'll turn around and they'll go back to a Democratic again. Then they go back to the Republican again. So it goes on for years and years and years. And nobody seems to realize how this stuff really works. And it's right there on your symbol on the dollar bill.
You have to do your research, that's for sure.
Yeah, if you don't know.
And I agree with you also, as far as how Hollywood is definitely a part of this, too. I mean, I remember even watching the movie Thor that just came out, where Loki made a statement saying that mankind was meant to be ruled, and the scene had a large crowd of people in the street, and he forced them all to bow. And he was like, see how that doesn't that feel natural to you guys to bow before someone? So, I mean, it's really shoved right into our face. I mean, I completely and totally agree with you on that. I really do hope that we have, I want to believe that there is more hope for us than that.
I know.
I've asked this before, and I would really like your view on it. Many of us have come to the conclusion, you know, that the Bible is definitely a metaphorical reference to astrology, astrotheology. With this idea in mind, you know, Revelation does speak of a time when the ancient serpent, the devil, is going to be locked away for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be released for a short period of time. In astrotheological terms, are we about to enter into this 1,000-year period that may start like a mini golden age for us? What are your thoughts on that whole 1,000-year reign, and then he, you know, the serpent being released for a short period of time? What do you feel about that?
Well, it has to do with astrology, and I haven't really looked much into that. I mean, I've been looking at everything around it, but it's always been a mystery to me why it talks about 1,000 years. I know it talks also about a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But I know that the New Testament, as I said, is a metaphor, and that and it's telling you something symbolically. And once you understand the key to the symbols in the Bible, it all begins to make sense for the first time. But the 1,000-year reign, I mean, that takes us back to Adolf Hitler. You know, that's what he said. The Nazis were going to rule for 1,000 years. Boy, that's a big subject, because when you get into Nazism and its connection to Judaism and the symbols behind the Jewish-Nazi connection, it's an incredible story. I mean, the whole idea of this, I get all kinds of people saying that I'm anti-Semitic or I'm anti-Catholic or I'm not anti-anything. I'm just a historian. I'm just looking at the facts. Go to any good encyclopedia and read it, and then and you can see it for yourself. But, you know, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Four-fifths of all Jews on the earth are not Semitic, period. Four-fifths of all Jews that live on the earth today are not Semitic. So therefore, if you say something about say, Henry Kissinger, and he says that because you said something about him that you are anti-Semitic, well, first of all, he is not Semitic to start with. He's Germanic. He's not Semitic. And even the concept of Semitic itself is a false premise. There is, in fact, no such a thing as Semitic, period. On the face of it, I don't even know where to start with all of this, because in order for people to understand what I'm saying, they'd have to have been, you know, studying this stuff for many years to appreciate where I'm going with this. But the very word Semitic comes from Shem, one of the three sons of Noah in the Bible. At the time of the flood of Noah's day, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so after the flood was over, the Bible says that the earth was divided into three different bloodlines, or four different bloodlines, actually, from Noah and his wife, and then his three sons and their wives. And one of the sons was called Shem. And from Shem, we get Sem. So Shemitic is Semitic. Well, when you understand that the whole story of the flood of Noah's day was actually rewritten on the Gilgamesh epic and the old Sumerian Gilgamesh story, which was thousands of years before the Bible was written, there was already a story of the Great Flood and how this one man with his family were taken into an ark. And so the whole story of Noah and the ark is actually just a retelling of the old ancient, far more ancient story of the Gilgamesh epic, which means that there was, in fact, historically, no Noah or his sons. They never existed. There was no Ark of the Covenant. There was no Noah's Ark, and that's why they can't find it. Everybody's trying to find Noah's Ark, and nobody can find it because the damn thing never existed to start with. It's a story, and that's why the rabbis have told me so many times in the past, that's why the Bible is called the greatest story ever told. It's a story. It's not historical and provable. It's a story, and it's an encoded story. And once you understand the encoded message, then it begins to make sense. So I'm saying that there is no such a thing as Semitic to start with, because there was no Shem to begin with. The whole story of Noah's Ark was based on something far, far more older. Having said that, though, now there's a difference between those Jews who are called Semitic and those who are not Semitic. Four-fifths of all Jews on the earth are not Semitic. And so, I mean, Henry Kissinger does not look like an Arab, you know, and you know, and all the different the Jews that we know in Western civilization come from Europe, not from the Middle East. They're not Arabic. They're not Semitic. So I'm just saying that there's a world of lies and deception, and you know, I don't think we're ever going to be able to get our way out of this paper bag. And there's so much out there that's just not true.
That's funny. You said that Kissinger doesn't look like he's an Arab. You know, and also, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that the letter J wasn't invented until the 1500s. So there was no Jesus, John, Jacob, Job, Jude. You know, right down the J line.
That's right.
I mean, think of it. How could there possibly be a John in the Middle East? You know, it's ridiculous to even think about.
Well, of course. That's exactly right. And that's just one more, you know, one more fact in the equation that, you know, the reason why you have four Gospels, Polycarp and some of the early church fathers explain why there was only going to be four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, first of all, those are not Middle Eastern names, but the most important part is, why is there only four Gospels? Why couldn't there have been 16 or one? Well, the reason why there's four different Gospels is because it symbolizes Jesus as God's Son, the light of the world. Well, of course the Son is the light of the world. And every man will see him. Every eye will see him coming. Well, of course every eye sees the Son coming. And he's your risen Savior. Well, of course it rises every morning about 5:30. And the Son is your Savior. If it don't come up, we're dead in 3 weeks. And so the whole idea of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter. And the 12 apostles are the 12 months of the year, the 12 signs of the zodiac. And God's Son dies for us so that we might live. He died so that we might live. The Egyptians said that the sun was pure energy, and that the sun was pure energy, and it was giving the energy to the universe. It was burning the energy and giving it to everyone. But if the sun it was giving energy, it's going to run out one day. Obviously, that will not go on forever. And so it will give out one day. But if it didn't give its energy, it could keep it itself. It would live forever. But it's not doing that. It's giving its energy. So the energy is life coming from the sun, which causes our plants to grow, causes our weather, it causes life to spring up on the earth because of the sun. So therefore, God's Son is giving his life so that you might live. Because if the sun didn't give us energy on the earth, we'd just be frozen solid, and there would be no life on the earth. So the whole story of Jesus is about the sun. It's a sun worship. And as opposing to that, Judaism is moon worship. It's worshiping the lunar god. Moses was a leader of a moon cult. People know this in universities, and teachers and scholars know this, but generally speaking, the people have no idea in the world. Christianity is the old ancient Babylonian sun worship. Judaism is the old ancient Arabic moon worship. And Islam is worshiping a meteorite based on the moon and moon worship also. That's why there's so much connection, so many connections between the Islamic and the Jewish world. The Jews and the Arabs are very close to each other because they're both worshippers of the moon. But, of course, Islam throws a little something new into it. They got a meteorite. So now that's why they have the Dome of the Rock, because the rock is a meteorite. I mean, people have no idea in the world where all of this comes from. And I myself am frustrated because at 73 years old, I've been talking about this and reading this and studying it all my life, realizing that none of this makes any sense unless you see how this stuff has been put together, where the money comes from, how governments are formed. how they're formed, international corporations, who starts them, where did the Federal Reserve come from, where did the United States of America come from, where did the Catholic Church really originate, you know, why do Jews meet in a synagogue? Better go look at that word. Better look at the word synagogue in Israel. I mean, here in America, we spell synagogue S-Y-N. In Israel, it's S-I-N. You need to understand the difference and why. You know, and it's just all part and parcel of a world of confusion. And I'm just amazed. I don't even know where to start.
Well, you brought up a lot of great questions for people to begin their journey on. And I've got one that's kind of related. You've stated in the past, the way you can see the future is to understand the past. And to me, that's why astrology is so important, because the cycles of time repeat themselves. Right now, Pluto is in Capricorn, and it's been there since 2008, and it'll remain there until 2023. The last time that Pluto was in Capricorn was during the American Revolution. And right now, there are revolutions going on all around the world, and most recently in Egypt. So are you familiar with Pluto in Capricorn, and how important is astrology not only to us, but to those who are controlling us?
Well, first of all, astrology is the most important single factor in the life of the human race, period. If you understand that every single nation, race of people on the earth, from all over the globe, for as far back as you can go, into any civilization, any race, any ancient culture, any culture today, from the Eskimos to South America to India to China to Russia to America to Europe to the islands of the Caribbean, the zodiac has always been, there's always been a zodiac. All over the earth, in every language, every race, every color, every creed, has the zodiac. And no one seems to have ever wondered, why is that, that every single culture on the earth has always had the zodiac? Why? Where does that come from? And then when you begin to look at the 12 signs of the zodiac, why were there only 12 signs? Well, that's why 12 is so important. You have the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, you know, the 12 great prophets of Judaism. You have 12, look in the Bible, in the back of the Bible, and look up the word 12, and see how many 12s are mentioned in the Old and New Testament. It's replete with 12s. Why? Because it's based on Jesus. Jesus is God's Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N, S-U-N, the Son. And the Son is the light of the world, as I said, and he has 12 helpers. Well, of course, he has the 12 months of the year that help him distribute his light to the world. That's why when you go to court, you got 12 jurors who are going to bring the truth to light with the 12 jurors. 12 is very important in astral theology. The Illuminati masters who run this world live and operate 24/7 by astrological symbolism, words and terms. The church does the same thing, and that's why the church does not want you knowing about astrology. They tell you it have nothing to do with the world of the occult. The world of occultism, occult simply means, it's a Latin word for that which is hidden. Occult simply means hidden. And therefore, the real story about how the world actually works, how the governments really work, how the stock market actually works, how the governments and institutions of education, how all of this stuff actually in fact works, is called occult, because we don't know. All we know is we're born and raised into it. We have no idea in the world where anything comes from, how it got started. And so it just depends on where you happen to have been born as to what religion you will be. If you were born in Africa, then you would, you know, you'd be following an African religion. If you were born in China, then you would be following a Chinese religion. If you're born in Arabia, you'd be following Islam. If you're born in a Catholic country, then you'd be following the Catholicism. It just depends on where you were born as to what religion that you would be a part of. And of course, it naturally follows that whatever religion you happen to be a part of is an enemy to somebody, and so you've got to go kill them, or they're going to kill you. Never realizing that this earth is very small and all humans on it are the creation of someone higher. And so, I don't know. I don't know where to go with all of this. I mean, I could sit for hours and unfold for you just the lunacy of the religions of this world. I mean, and the difference between the solar cults and the lunar cults and the Saturnian cults. Saturn plays a big part in all of this also.
Let's get back to the Pluto and Capricorn. Are you familiar with Pluto and Capricorn and how the revolutions always come about?
Yeah, I'm familiar with both. I know that Pluto is deadly, and Capricorn is the law. Capricorn is also the inhibitor. Capricorn has to do with law, but it also has to do with the planet Saturn is very important to Capricorn. But if you know, I was born December 28th. So on the surface, it looks like I'm Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
But in point of fact, I don't think that's true. I don't think I am anymore. Right? And that has to do with the way Nostradamus did astrology. When you study Nostradamus, you find that you're not the sign you thought you were. Whatever sign people think they are today, they're not. They're the one behind it. And that's interesting because I'm not a Capricorn in point of fact from Nostradamus' point of view, and I think he was probably right. And so I really haven't looked at this particular configuration of what you're talking about with Pluto and Capricorn. What are you finding on it?
Well, the last time that Pluto was in Capricorn was it began in 1760, and by 1776 we had the American Revolution, and this is what Pluto brings about. Pluto is the destroyer, and it tears down everything that is negative and gives us the opportunity to rebuild it with something that's positive. Now, flash forward to 2008, Pluto entered Capricorn again, and in 2008, what did we see? We saw the collapse of the banking system
right on schedule.
And right now we're seeing these revolutions all throughout the world right on schedule as Pluto enters Capricorn. So I'm seeing a consistent pattern here, and that's what the importance is behind astrology, is to look at the patterns and learn from the past and hopefully not make the same mistakes in the future.
Well, I think you're right, and I think you may have something there. Maybe it is possible for us, cosmically speaking, not individually, because we're individually, we've got an IQ of 40, but maybe the universe is going to cause the whole human family to awaken to a whole new reality that's coming. And, you know, like the Bible says in Revelation, that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And because of that, war broke out in heaven. And when war broke out in heaven, it was because of a new heavens and new earth. Well, of course, that's obvious, war broke out in heaven. The war is between the age of Pisces, the two fish, and the age of Aquarius, which is coming. And so war broke out in heaven, yes, between the two ages. There's a war going on between the two ages. And Pisces have been around for about 1700 years now. And it's getting ready to leave. And the new one coming in is Aquarius. And Aquarius wants to come in. And Pisces does not want it to come in. It's used to ruling the earth, and now it's going to have to leave, and a new guy is coming in. So war broke out in heaven. That's right. It's the Star Wars. It's a war between the stars. And so I understand what you're saying, and it very well might be that the only thing that will save the human race is an astrological configuration happening that will awaken the earth whether they want it or not.
Jordan, I had a question for you. In your opinion, is the planet Nibiru a reality? And if so, do you believe it's inhabited by maybe a malevolent race of beings responsible for the creation of humanity, possibly the Anunnaki or the Elohim that so many people are, thinking are behind what's going on?
Yeah, well, I was in business with Zachariah Sitchin for quite a few years. I sent him to like five countries. I helped get a couple of his books published, and I was actually in business with him. We were on the contract together, so I had a lot of time to sit and talk with him privately. And that was very interesting conversation because he told me things that he's never told anybody in the public and in his books. But I don't know. I'm not really sure about Nibiru. I'm not really sure. But it would seem that some of the authorities on the Earth believe that there is another planet, a 12th planet. I've heard that the United States Navy has issued articles about obviously another planet is in our system, but it's way far out right now. So that could very well be that there is another planet in our solar system that's coming back in. It's got an elliptical orbit of, I don't know, 3,600 years. So every 3,600 years it comes back into our close vicinity so we can see it. And it's bigger than Jupiter, we're told. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've sat and talked with Zachariah about this many times, but I'm not sure.
That's very interesting. I appreciate you answering that question. And we have some callers that are actually waiting right now at the moment, and I'd like to go ahead and see if we can bring somebody in here. And we have a number 786. Let's see here. 786, are you there with us?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to N5D Radio. What's your name?
Oh, hello, guys. My name is Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Yes.
Do you have a question for Jordan? I hear an echo in the background, my friend. Is your are your speakers up?
Oh, I got headphones on. Hold on. Hello,
from England.
Yeah.
All right. Happy Monday, guys.
You too, man.
But I do have a question. Hello, Jordan. I've been doing research of your work, and I'm in love. But the truth is, what we can focus on, if I may ask, being that all your research, what can you say about the frequency of oneness? Wouldn't that be, let's say, somewhere more powerful to even if used correctly, to overthrow these alien frequencies in a way?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very convoluted question. I'm not really sure, you know, what you're talking about, but but ultimately, whatever is going on, it has cosmic dimensions to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to be able to get out of it or not. You know, maybe the universe will wake us up, whether we want to be woken up or not. But again, even if we do awaken, the people who will be in charge of the world after the world is awakened themselves have no grounding, no background, no experience, no knowledge, no wisdom. And so even if we changed, what are we going to change into? Because I don't think that the age of Aquarius is going to be a very happy time. As far as I'm concerned, I think it's going to be a very dark thing. It's astrologically speaking. But anyway, I'm not understanding exactly what your question is.
We're going to take another caller from the area code 780. I believe that's Jay from Canada. Jay, are you there?
Hey, Greg. Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I just love this conversation, I tell you.
All righty. Do you have a question for Jordan?
Hey, Jordan, I just know I'm a teacher also, and I notice that people are just lost out there. I just wonder if everyone are getting conned into the technology that keeps them separated from consciousness and things like that. Like, especially, you know, the Facebook and, you know, virtual, I call it virtual escape, ism, I call it. I just wondered, is that to fool us or to divert us from awakening? Is that what it's doing right now, to divert us from it?
Well, I'm sure, because that's what's actually happening, so it must be part of a plan, because that's exactly what is happening. It's diverting the whole human race away from itself and creating a whole new civilization that's based on computerization, so that eventually what is hoped and what, you know, even Disney and Disney Studios with ABC produced that program called V. And in it, V was, the story was of the visitors from outer space who've come here. And they're going to help mankind evolve and help us to evolve to a better, higher civilization. And Disney and ABC, they know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I'm just amazed. It was in your face. And what was the and so the aliens are telling the humans, well, we're here to help you, and we have a program that we're going to implement here on the Earth. And of course, all the humans were just they were fascinated. Oh, that's wonderful! You've got a new program for us? Yes. And on, and in the movie, the program was on a pamphlet that was being handed out by the aliens to the humans. And the pamphlet was called Dawn of a New Day. And when I saw that, I was shocked, quite literally shocked, because that symbol, the Dawn of a New Day, and that symbol is came directly out of the Marxist-Leninist communist symbolism of the Soviet Union. And I was shocked when I saw that, because I've studied that symbol. I have studied the Soviet Union. I've studied Marxist-Leninism and communism and the world fascist movement. I was floored when I saw what Disney put into the movies. But now, I got over it. I know what they're doing. And so I don't think there's, the only thing that could help us right now is if people started to awaken to the fact that their whole civilization around them is totally, totally involved in this occult, dark, masterful idea of manipulating the whole human race. And that's what's going on. I mean, you go to movies today and watch the audiences. The audiences love all the silly, nonsensical gore, sex, drugs, and filth, and it's frightening, because they have no idea in the world who Hollywood really is, what's really going on in Hollywood, who these people are who run the motion picture studios. I do. I've lived here for 53 years. I know what Hollywood is really all about. I know why they chose that name a long time ago, Hollywood. It's the wood of a holly tree. And there's a reason why they call it Hollywood. And that's a whole metaphysical reason right there for the name of the city. So it's just, I'm at a loss for words, because there's so much I would like to say, but I have to preface my comments and go back to square one and explain to you what these words mean, what the symbol means, where it came from, why is this particular symbol being used, and why are these words being used. And we have death head colors. That's another thing that came out of Hollywood many years ago, was something called death head colors, red, black, and white. And when you see red, black, and white, that means something politically. So, I mean, I could go on for hours, and it makes no sense, because I'm jumping all over the all around because of the questions. But the bottom line on all of this is that we as a human race are being played with by some very highly intelligent people who are manipulating our minds, our government, our money, our lives. They're manipulating our lives, and we don't even know it. We love it.
We love it.
So,
Jay?
Yes.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, you can talk to them all night, but is there anything I can ask them the question? Is it okay?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
I just know, what's it going to take for humanity to wake up? And my second question about that question is that what's the percentage, do you know, approximate percentage that of the population of the world has woken up?
Well, it's a very small percentage, and it's probably not going to be enough to make a change. Because, you know, I've said this so many times publicly, that the only light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming. Because in trying to inform America, it's really the only country I'm really worried about, is my own country. But to try and inform America is like trying to empty the Pacific with a cup, because the masses of people that you have to educate, it's just too many people, and they're already have already made their decisions. They've already decided what they want, and so there's not much I can do about any of it. And there's a few people awakening to how they're being tricked and deceived, but most people don't want to hear it. And I know that, and I'm faced with that. Usually when I'm talking to people, I end up talking to myself because nobody knows what I'm talking about. This stuff is very, very deeply ingrained. The propaganda is. Hollywood tells you three things: what your masters have already done, what they're doing now, and what they're getting ready to do. And so when you watch movies, they're telling you what they're doing. They're telling you what the powers that be on the earth are doing, and put it in the movies. And people go to the movies and have no idea in the world what they're watching.
Why do they do it? I kind of figure this out, and I've heard this on Coast to Coast AM too. Just why is it everything's in plain sight, and then people are woken up, can see what's going on, but why do they at least put it in plain sight? I just can't figure this out. Why do they do that? And it just kind of, it's not, I don't know, just it kind of boggles my mind. Why do they do that?
Yeah, I know. It is crazy if you think about it. But the elite know. They don't suspect. They know. Good people have never been organized. Good people don't get organized. Only criminals get organized. That's why we have something called organized crime, because it's organized. But we don't have organized good people. Because people, normal, regular, everyday good people, don't get organized to do anything. Usually their families are disorganized. So they don't get organized to accomplish anything. Only criminals get organized to accomplish something. And criminals always are more intelligent than their marks. You have to be more intelligent than the people you're going to rip off. It's required that you be far more intelligent and devious if you're going to deceive someone. And so that's why it works the way it does, because the people who are doing this are far more intelligent than we will ever even suspect. We have no idea in the world how smart the people are who are running this planet. And go on. What were you saying?
So sorry, I was just going to say, I hope that helped answer Jay's question. I see Lori in the chat room wanted to know what the significance of the red, black, and white, and what does that mean?
Oh, yeah. It's called, in Hollywood, there's a term for it called death, D-E-A, death, death head colors. Death head colors. Death head was the term that was used for the Gestapo. And in Nazi Germany, the Gestapo was called the Death Head. And the Death Head's symbol was the skull and crossbones. But Death Head colors is red, white, and black. It's a combination of colors, which each color implies an occult significance. Black, Saturn, Saturnian, dark, evil. White is good, and then red is blood, revolution. You see death head colors everywhere. As a matter of fact, Egypt, the national coat of arms and there are symbols in Egypt are red, white, and black. A lot of different countries in the world have red, white, and black on their flags. Just go look up in the dictionary or on the web, look up death head colors. A lot of information out there on it.
I was actually wondering the significance behind the black and white checkered flooring, too, that you see covering, you know, the floors of a lot of the different Illuminati-based type,
yeah,
you know, videos and movies. You always see that black and white checkered flooring. So, yeah, that makes that's really interesting.
Well, yeah, if you take the checkerboard, if you take a checkerboard and turn it on the angle to you, so it's the point is pointing to you, and the opposite point is pointing to your opponent, and count the squares. Then, once you turn it to the angle, count the squares on your side as opposed to the opposer's side, and there are 32 squares on both sides, and so that's interesting. 32 squares on the angle. It's reminiscent of the, of Masonic 32nd degree, because the 33rd degree is an invitation degree. Checkers, I mean, in England, the head of the Bank of England, banks is referred to as the Exchequer. That's why when you walk in a bank, you write a check at the bank, because the bank was called the Exchequer, the head of the bank. All of this is a part of commerce. All of this is part of the world system of government. Look up the word commerce in a law dictionary. Look up the word Congress. You know, we talk about the Congress, U.S. Congress. Look up the word Congress and look up the word commerce. It doesn't mean what you think it does. Most people think commerce is business. No, it's not. Look it up in a law dictionary. It has to do with sex. Sex is called commerce in law. And therefore, if you're involving yourself in sex with somebody else, then that is a business. So now you have a partner. If I see you with someone and I say, you know, that person you're with is bad company. Company? And you say, mind your own business. Business? Company? Partner? It's a business. This is why if you're getting married, you have to have a license. You can't do business without a business license. So that's a business license to do business. But why? Because you are a corporation. I mean, that gets into maritime law, and that's a whole story, too. But, you know, and people don't realize their body is a corporation. You are a corporation. That's why when you die, you are called a corpse. You are a corporation. And when your corporation is going to do business with somebody else's corporation, then you better get a license, because it's business. And if that business between the two of you doesn't work out, you're not going to God, you're going to court. You better bring all your possessions with you, your money and your home and everything, because it's just business. And the people who gave you the license are obviously superior to you, because you couldn't do anything without that license. So the people who gave you the license is the government. The government issued you a license to do business. And so, therefore, any new product that you, General Motors, gets married to Ford Motor Company in a particular project, and they're going to produce a new product. And so that's what happens. You'll get married, you produce a new product. And the product on the International Maritime Admiralty Law is a maritime product. You are a human resource. It just goes on and on. It gets into shipping. I mean, that's always been the problem with all of these subjects. It's just such a huge subject. That you don't know. I just don't know where to start on this. Well, you can start anywhere. You can start anywhere, and it takes you 8 hours to get through it.
Yeah, and folks, if you really want to check that out, go on YouTube. There's an amazing presentation on commerce by Jordan on there. Definitely check that out. And, yeah, we have covered a lot of subjects tonight, and I hate to do it, but here's another one.
Yeah, okay.
They say that 15% of the population has Rh negative blood. Is it possible that these are the offspring from the sons of God who intermingled with the women on earth?
Well, I'm not sure, but that all does point to something very interesting. I don't know what, but that is a whole story in itself about the sins of God. I could talk for 2 hours just on that alone. That is a very interesting and important subject, and matter, as a matter of fact, because in the book of in the Bible, what is being said in the first few chapters of Genesis has never ever been talked about in churches anywhere, and a lot of Jews are not even aware of it. But there's some really interesting and important stuff being said in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 all the way through I would say up to the 18th chapter of Genesis. A lot of interesting stuff talking about who created us and how we got here. Classic example is in Genesis 1:1, when the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But that's not what it says in the original writings. It's a mistranslation. The English people who translated the King James Bible were very good with the King's English, but they didn't know that much about Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. So they made some mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes they ever made is in Genesis 1:1, the very first sentence. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that's not what it says in the original. Because in the original, God is E-L, L. L is God in Hebrew. But that's not the word that's used in Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Not El, Elohim. Totally different word, meaning totally something totally different. Elohim is like putting an S on the end of an English word, making it more than one. It's a plural. It's called a feminine plural. So the correct, El is God, but Elohim is adding an S onto it. So it's like the correct translation would be, in the beginning, the gods, more than one. The gods created the heavens and the earth. Then it makes sense because when God is creating Adam and Eve, God says, come, go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth. But when the gods are actually creating Adam and Eve, they said, come, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And people read that without questioning, why would it say, come, let us? It's asking for a consensus of opinion. It's asking, come, let us. And so the Christians will tell you, well, there it is right there. See, God is creating man. But the Hebrews will tell you there's no place in the Old Testament where God created man. It doesn't say that. The Bible does not say God created man. Period. Man in Hebrew is ish. It's pronounced ishi, I-S-H. Ishi or ish is man. But it doesn't say that in the scriptures in Genesis 1:28. It doesn't say ish. It says Adam, when God created A-D-M, not Adam, Adam, A-D-M. So when the God says, come, let us make man in our image after our likeness, what is being said is that somebody, the gods, whoever that is, are come here, they see the indigenous creatures that we call hominid creatures who have been here for thousands of years, and they said, come, let us, whoever us is, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Not make man, he's already here, but let us make him in our image, after our likeness. So then they tamper with the DNA in the indigenous creatures that we call hominids, and they create a new kind of creature. Come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now we begin to look like our creators. That's why in Genesis, every time an angel or God appears to anyone, it's always in the form of a man. You know, in Genesis 18, when Abraham and Sarah, they have three men come walking up into the camp, and they talk to the three men and ask them to sit and have dinner, which they did. They sat under a tree. The Bible says in Genesis 18 that the three men sat with and had dinner. And after dinner, they sat and talked for a while. And then the Bible says that one of the three men was the Almighty God, the Creator, who created all humankind, was the Creator. And he just sat and had dinner with Abraham. And he looked like a man. And so all the way through the scriptures in the Old and New Testament, every time an angel appears to anyone, it always looks like a man. It always looks human. The reason why is very simple. We look like the gods. They don't look like us. We look like them. Because they said, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, I've talked with Zechariah Sitchin, and God knows so many other people about this same subject. And it seems to be that what's being said in the Bible may be very true, that we look like our creators. That if that's the case, then who is to say that they're not still here? You just see them as humans, but they're not human. They very well could be the Anunnaki. That's what they look like. They look like us. They look like humans.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, we look like them. And so they could be leading us right now today, and we wouldn't know it. We wouldn't know. We just look at them as our political leaders, our religious leaders, never for a moment realizing, no, they are not human. That's why they can do what they do. They have the ability to do it, and they you know, on the basis for their power, they say that they have a divine right. We have a divine right of kings. Well, maybe they do have a divine right. They are the Anunnaki. They're the ones that created you. You look like them. They have a divine right. And so it's a scary thought when you begin breaking all of this stuff down, what's really being said, not what you thought the Bible said.
Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, for the 15% of the population who have Rh-negative blood, do they have alien or Anunnaki or Elohim bloodlines?
Well, I mean, I would say we all do. Actually, we all do. All humans today do have a part of us in our blood and in our DNA, alien DNA. I mean, even scientists are talking about the junk DNA. They call it junk DNA that all humans have, because the reason why they call it junk is because they don't understand what it is. It doesn't match anything else in the DNA and our blood. And so there's something in our blood. They call it junk DNA. They don't know what it is. Well, that could very well, like Zechariah Sitchin has theorized, that could be the DNA from the aliens that is not human. So that's it's a whole story. I mean, we could get into all of that, but we're jumping around a lot. And I realize a lot of people will say, you know, well, you jump around too many different subjects. But that's the kind of a program it happens by chance to be at this moment. You know, we could concentrate on one particular subject, but we're just jumping around and looking at many different subjects. And all I'm saying is that there's a lot more to all of this than meets the eye. Any subject you bring up, there's a lot that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult
to be
concise.
I personally had, you know, a deep-rooted interest also in the Rh-negative blood factor, because I'm Rh-negative. And I just remember that it was just very strange to me how they wanted to give me an injection because of the fact that, you know, it was the firstborn son that I was going to have with my, you know, with my husband. And I'm wondering to myself, well, this is odd, you know, and why would they need to inject me with something because, you know, I have Rh-negative blood? the research, of course, is out there for people, you know, to do on their own as far as what that all means and medically speaking, what it means for a pregnant woman. But, I just thought it was strange because Rh negative blood types also exhibit a lot of very strange and unusual physical issues. I mean, they have lower than normal body temperatures. They can also have other things that are going on with them physically speaking. And so it was always just a question in my mind as to whether or not it could possibly be, some type of genetic engineering that was happening with these ETs or these extraterrestrials. I don't know how long Rh negative blood has been on the planet. I mean, I don't remember really hearing about it, you know, back in the day, but maybe it was. So, you know, it was interesting to ask the question because, you know, I want to know, you know, what do you think it could be going on? You know, we've had all these alien abductions that people have been talking about for decades, you know, being taken up into spaceships. I mean, is it a military thing, do you think? Possibly our own military government playing God with us? You know, do you have any further insight as to how you feel about that?
Yeah, I've got something I would like to say about that. Can you imagine how much it must cost to finance Steven Spielberg to do a movie, to do a 90-minute or a two-hour movie? Can you even imagine what that would cost to finance Steven Spielberg to do a movie? It's going to be a lot of money. Well, Steven Spielberg did a 19-hour television series, 19 hours of Spielberg. And it was done for Sci-Fi Channel, and it was called Taken, where Spielberg spent 19 hours doing a television show on the idea of people being abducted by aliens. That tells me that, first of all, whoever financed Steven Spielberg for 19 hours, that must have cost a hell of a lot of money. And why would Steven Spielberg spend that kind of money and that kind of time to produce 19 hours on one subject about Taken? It was called Taken. And the reason why he used that term Taken as for the movie is because there was a book written by a lady doctor, Dr. Carla Turner. She wrote a book called Taken, from which the movie Spielberg took that and made a 19-hour television series off of her book. And what Dr. Carla Turner died shortly after that book came out. So I think there was something very fishy there, too. She said she was afraid for her life. And then that book came out, and she was ended up dead. And so, but the point about Taken was that Spielberg did 19 hours to explain to you how the U.S. military is in business with aliens and how the aliens are able to camouflage themselves and can appear as saints, they can appear as animals, they can appear as your mother to you, they can appear to you as your father. They have the ability to replicate anything that was in your life. They can make themselves look like anything from your imagination and from your mind. So if they want to connect with you, they will appear as your mother, and they will be identical, absolutely identical, so that nobody would be able to tell the difference. That you know, if you see an image of your mother and talking with her voice, or your father, or your brother, it would be no possible way for you to not know, for you to know that it was aliens playing with you. And that was his movie. That was a 19-hour series he did called Taken. Well, along with all the other movies he's done, my God, it must have been about 10 of the major movies he's done on ET, extraterrestrials, and Close Encounters of Third Kind, etc. He's trying to tell you something. And what Spielberg is telling the world is that there is something going on the earth that is behind world governments, behind world religions, behind the phenomena that we see going on the earth today. and it is extraterrestrial in origin. And there's a lot of very important people have written books, reference books on this subject. Dr. Roger Lear, dear friend of mine, every time I hear a scientist say, well, if there's extraterrestrial life, why don't we have something we can look at? Are you joking? There's so much stuff out there that that has come from extraterrestrials that we have, but scientists are not interested in looking at it because they didn't find it, so therefore they're not interested in it. But Dr. Lear has taken, I think it's 13 of them, 12 or 13 implants, little small electrical devices that are put in people's inside their bodies. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. He's the implant doctor, and he goes in, operates on people, and pulls out these little diodes of these little electrical instruments that are connected to your nerves. Because they're electrical, they need an electrical power source. So what these little things are doing, they're beeping. They're little electrical things which are sending out a beeping signal. But they use as a power source, whoever put them in the human body, they connected these little things to your nerve endings. And your nerve ending is an electrical impulse in your nerve, and that's what runs these little diodes or whatever they are. And then they sew you back up, and you will never know. And what's interesting is that these little things, when they're found, they are inside of some sort of a plastic coating, which has your DNA in the coating. So whoever these aliens are who can put these things in human bodies, and the human will not know it's there, they coat this little beeping thing with your DNA. They take it from your body, wrap it around this little thing, put it in your body and connect it to a nerve ending, and then put it inside of you and sew you back up, and you will never know. You will never know it's there. The body doesn't know it's there because it has the same DNA, so the body doesn't recognize it. And so you can carry it all your life in your body and never know you've got a little beeper inside of you that's sending out a signal to somewhere. Somebody's watching you because it's something in your body that's beeping. And your nerve ending is the one that's giving it the power. And so when you have something like that taken out of you in an operation, and then you connect it, as he's done with many different articles that have been taken out of people, he calls them implants, and then they put the little beeper things to the test, and they can see it's beeping. And the frequency that it's beeping at is the frequency that astronauts use to communicate with NASA. It's a particular kind of frequency, that a very, very highly technical frequency that the astronauts use to talk with NASA. And that's the same frequency that these little beepers in people's bodies are going out at. So I'm just amazed at how much people don't know. And so when I hear scientists say, well, you know, give us something, we can study it, are you joking? There's all kinds of things. Dr. Lear's been trying to get scientists to look for years at these little things. He took, you know, he sent some of these things to Los Alamos. He sent a couple of them to Germany to a laboratory there. And they say they have no idea what these things are. They're beeping, and they're connected to the human nervous system to operate. They don't know what it is. They don't know where it's come from. They have no idea in the world what it's all about, and so nobody talks about it. Well, I'm talking about it. Somebody ought to find out what's really going on here on the Earth. And Dr. Roger Lear is, that's what he's been doing for years. So I'm just saying that there's a lot of stuff going on here on the Earth that we are not privy to know about. The Church does not want you knowing anything about any of this.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that some of the crystalline implants are actually a positive thing for some extraterrestrial races. And earlier you were mentioning how aliens could possibly camouflage themselves. Do you believe that there is a life in higher dimensions of consciousness? And ultimately, isn't that where we're all heading?
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind about that, yes. And I think that, maybe we are part of it. And when we leave here, we go back into that higher consciousness. I've had some very, very important and powerful people, and I'm talking about seriously important people that would, you know, knock you over, that I talk with in private about their experience when they died. One of them told me about a death experience he had where he died on the operating table and what happened to him. And if I told you who it was, you would not believe it. A man that powerful, that high up in world government. And
tell us.
And then incredible story. But he said, this is the man who is, that is behind huge governments of the world. And I'm hesitant to give his name or get any closer than that. But a very, very important man. He told me about the fact that when he died, what happened to him. He said, When I died, I felt myself come out of my body, and I could hear everything. I could see everything. I could see the people running around in the operating room, and everybody was hysterical because I went flatline. It didn't bother me. I could see everything, the people going on, what's happening to them, and listening to what the doctors were saying. And he said, but I wasn't hurting. I'm just enjoying the scene. I'm seeing everybody running around. And he said, then all of a sudden, involuntarily, I began being sucked into a vortex of some kind. And he said, all I remember is I was spinning around in some kind of a vortex, going at an alarming rate. I was speeding through this tunnel of vortex of colors and sounds. And he said, and then I came out of that vortex at the end, and there was an angel. And he said, there was an angel standing there, and it stopped me and told me to turn around and go back. He said, turn around and go back because there's someone down there. One of ours is down there, and you have to go help him. So turn around and go back. And he said, and involuntarily, I didn't try to do it myself. Involuntarily, I began being sucked back into a volume, into a vacuum, and into a spiral, into some kind of a spiral vortex, and I was going through space again, and I came back into the operating room, and as I began to feel myself coming back on my body, I could see everybody running around because my signs were coming back. And he said, and then I slipped back into my body, and I jerked. I was jerking around when I slipped back into my body. And he said, and so when I died, I went through a vortex. I saw an angel, and the angel told me to turn around and come back because I had something to do. And this was from a very, very powerful man. So, and he told me, he said to me, when it comes to politics, I know what I'm doing. But when it comes to religion and the occult, he said, Jordan, I prefer talking to you, because I don't know what happened then. I have no, I don't know how to explain it. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I don't know what's happening when we die, but whatever it is, you're not going to, it's not what you think it is. You're mm-hmm. going to still be alive. You'll still be able to see and hear and experience everything, but you're just not physically here. And so that's just one experience I've heard.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of research on near-death experiences, and ultimately, when you cross over to the other side, the only thing that exists is love. And it's funny how most people don't mention about, there's no pearly gates, there's no religious figures that greet you. You end up judging yourself, and then you judge yourself through the eyes of everybody you've encountered. So it seems like an amazing process, and ultimately we're here as a learning experience, really, and then we go back to report back to Creator what we learned and what kind of things we want to learn in our next incarnation.
Yeah, I would be a bit surprised if there's something like that. You know, the New Testament, both the Old and the New Testament and the Bible teach reincarnation. The New Testament story of Jesus in the New Testament and the Bible is filled with reincarnation, filled with it everywhere. but mm-hmm. people don't see it because it's cleverly hidden. So the idea of reincarnation, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything, but the Bible is filled with it, on Old and New Testament, talking about coming back, you know, and reincarnating and coming back. It says Jesus died and then he came back and people walked along the street and saw him and they didn't realize it was him until he started speaking and talking, and then people recognized him and said, "This is Jesus, he's come back." Well, what is that all about? He's come back. And they didn't recognize him until they started talking. And you know, there's just all kinds of other scriptures in the New Testament and talking about people who have died and came back. And Jesus himself, I mean, even in the scriptures, says Jesus said Elisha died and he came back and he was reincarnated and he came back as a different person. So, you know, like I said, the Old and New Testaments, you know, fill with these examples of reincarnation. But Christians have never heard it. They don't know what it's all about. They've never read it. So they don't know. They don't read anything. They don't know anything. And all they know is what they're... And all Christians today know is what their pastors are telling them. And the pastors have no idea in the world about none of it because they've gone to a university to get a degree to be a minister. What is that all about? Did the apostles of Jesus, they have to go to a university, Columbia, to get a degree before they could be an apostle? I mean, come on. I mean, the whole story is that's why I always say Israel is not the holy city. It's not the there's nothing holy in Israel. The only thing holy in Israel are the stories. They're full of holes. None of it makes any sense unless you realize it's all astral theology, it's all symbolism. The whole thing is a metaphysical story that's being misunderstood because it's being looked at as history. It's not history. The Bible's called the greatest story ever told. It's a story. It's not the greatest collection of historical facts. It's a story. And the story is, there's a war going on. The bottom line of the New Testament is very simple. The story of Jesus can be boiled down to a few sentences. The story of Jesus in the New Testament is quite simply a metaphor for the war between light and darkness, before stupidity and ignorance in the dark, or intellectual, spiritual enlightenment on the other side. A war between light and darkness. And that can be traced all the way back to the ancient Sumerians, Proto-Sumerians, Egyptians. All of them had the same identical story about the war between the sun and the moon, between gold and silver, between the 12 hours of daytime and the 12 hours of dark. And God's son was the light of the world, and his great enemy was his brother, an evil brother whose name was Set, S-E-T, in Egyptian. And Set was called the Lord of Darkness. He was the Prince of Darkness. Darkness. And so, well, they noticed it got dark at sunset. So, you know, it's, you know, Christianity is sun worship. Judaism is a combination of lunar worship. I mean, why do Jews have their celebration after sundown? Why do they count their days from sundown to sundown? It's because that's when the moon comes out, is after sundown. It goes back to Moses. Moses was a lunar deity. Oh, I mean, you know, I don't even know. Like I said, I don't know where to start with all of this because you have to go back to square one and research all of this and find out where these religions have all come from. And then it all begins to make sense. And it's mm-hmm. quite a story.
Jordan, I was wondering something. There's a second death that's referred to in the scriptures. What do you feel could possibly be the second death? What do you think that's referring to?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. You know, my first thought, like yours and anyone else's, I'm not sure. I don't know. But it would appear to me that if there's anything to that, it very well might be symbolic as a metaphor, but maybe I've heard people talk about the fact that if you, when you leave here, your spirit is still here. You are still here in spirit, so you can see and hear and see everything's going on. But maybe there's a way that your spirit ultimately can be destroyed also. That would be the second death. But that is pure speculation on my part. I tend to think there's probably more symbolic or a metaphor for something. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I like the idea of knowing that something could actually kill my soul or my spirit, but do you think that the birth, the death and the rebirthing process could also be being sabotaged by some sort of evil entity or the ones that we're thinking might be controlling humanity now? Do you think that they have the ability to maybe sabotage or hijack the life birth, you know, process?
Yes, I think so. I think that's exactly right. I think that there is a very, very important possibility that something could be hijacking this whole system of life and life after death. That very well could be something that's going to intervene in our natural evolution and cause some kind of a problem on the other side. That seems to be reasonable to me.
That makes me wonder too. You know, we've all heard of the indigo and crystal children, and recently there was a child born with a third strand of DNA. So, is humanity undergoing a DNA upgrade? And what is your opinion on where evolution is heading?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think evolution is not the right subject to look at. I think instead of evolution, I think the subject should be intervention. I don't think it's as important. Evolution is not important. It's intervention. Someone has intervened in our natural evolution and recreated something new. That's us. So I don't think we evolved like we are today. We didn't evolve. Someone came in and did something with the DNA and created a whole new kind of creature, which is us. Because we don't bear any resemblance at all to the ancient and prehistoric creatures that we call hominids. We don't look like them. They walked upright like we do, but that's about it. Our minds, our brains are different. Our skin is different. Our lives are totally different than those ancient prehistoric hominid creatures. And so today, there's half of us is hominid creature, and the other half is heavenly. So that, you know, the hominid creatures were not able to build lasers and televisions and go to the moon with high technology, etc. But we're able to write poetry and write beautiful music and do all kinds of wonderful things, which means that we have part of us is spiritual, part of us is of another race, another higher race that's part of us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the hominid part, that's one half of us, is just the human part, the animal part, but then there's another part of us which is heavenly or spiritually grandiose, you know. So I it's very difficult to know how and who these entities were that created us, but that's what the Bible says. In the beginning, Elohim created. Elohim mm-hmm. is gods in the plural. They created us. That's in the Bible.
Well, is it, and this is something I've been thinking about too, is it possible that Monsanto's GMOs, which have been proven to negatively affect our DNA, or perhaps the mandatory vaccinations that our children receive, that they're done to prevent an evolution, so to speak, of mankind?
Well, all I know is they tried to kill us in so many different ways with chemtrails and shots and and all kinds of viruses they are feeding into the human race. I mean, that's why you have the Center for Disease Control. It's not the Center for Disease Eradication. No, it's the Center for Disease Control. And so, you know, so many of these new diseases like AIDS and all these new things which are popping up all over the earth, I am totally convinced are man-made. And I know there are documents I've had documents in my hand from the United States Army explaining who the scientists were that developed AIDS, where it was developed, and these were congressional hearings. These were senatorial investigation committees, which you can get the copies of. For a few dollars, you get a copy of the senatorial hearings investigation into AIDS and read it. It's a United States federal government publishing, and they're telling you the names of the doctors, where they developed it, how they developed it, and who it was going to be used on. That's all part of government documents. So when I see things like AIDS and all of these other new diseases that are happening to people that never happened before, wouldn't be a bit surprised if it's just scientists monkeying around with people's DNA and people's diseases for people to kill off certain races, to kill off certain people. There's a big story there that's never come out.
Speaking of man-made, we have Sherry Elise in the N5B open chat room, and she's got a question about the moon. She says, I'm sort of a howl at the moon person, but I'm not sure whether it's a hollow metallic object or a conscious being or what it is. What are your thoughts about the moon?
Yeah, that's a great question because, well, first of all, I don't believe the moon was indigenous to this this solar system. I think it was brought here. Some of the Native Americans I've talked to from the Sioux and some of the other Native American people I've talked with, they talk about the fact that there was a time when the moon was not here, and that the moon was brought here. I think that's true. I think the moon was brought here. I don't think it was a normal, normal part of our solar system. And I also have talked with scientists and physicists from NASA who tell me that the moon has to be exactly the size it is. It has to be the same, the exact density that it is for it to do what it's supposed to do. It's there for a particular reason, not just to light up the night. No, it's there to balance so that the electrical force fields on the Earth so that life can exist on the Earth. I'm told by scientists at NASA that I've talked to in private about this, and they just basically explained to me scientifically, which I didn't understand, but I got the bottom line, is that the moon was brought here purposely so that life could exist on the Earth in the way that the gods who created us wanted it. And so that's why when you have a total eclipse, the moon has to be exactly the distance it's supposed to be. It can't be any closer or any further away. It must be right there in that one zone, that one area, and it cannot move any closer or it cannot move any further out. And it has to be the exact same size that it is, because on a full eclipse, it covers the sun exactly perfectly. And all the measurements and all the dynamics of the moon going before the sun, all of that implies that the moon was brought here. And, of course, if you look at the moon on the surface of it, it doesn't rotate from what I've heard. And the second is that the moon is covered with craters. Well, we have a few craters here on the Earth, but my God, the moon looks like it went through a Vietnam War. I mean, the whole thing is nothing but craters. So where did it get beat up like that, in our solar system? Where did the moon get so many craters everywhere? Where did it, it obviously got hit a lot of times. Where did it get hit that way? And has it been hit in the last 1,000 years? Well, we've been watching the moon. Has any big meteors hit the moon? Not that we've seen. Well, then where did it get all those craters from? Well, it probably was from bringing it from another part of the universe here. Somehow or another, bringing the moon here, it got beat up as it was coming over. I don't know.
I think I've even heard before, and I'm not even sure where I'm remembering this is that at some point in time, the people were threatened that if they didn't abide by the rules of the law that these entities or beings or whatever had, that they threatened to take the moon back, to take the moon away.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. I wasn't quite sure where I remember hearing that, but we also would like to know, Aloha Jay has another question. Do you subscribe to the Hollow Earth myth or the theory of the Hollow Earth?
Jan Lamprecht. Jan, J-A-N, Lamprecht. I think it's L-E-M-P-H-R-I-C. Jan Lamprecht. Wrote a book. He's in South Africa. And he wrote a book about the Hollow Earth. And he was saying scientifically, and you got to hear him before you make any judgment. This guy was brilliant. I'm fascinated by listening to him because he's a highly intelligent man, a scientist, and he's written a book called The Hollow Earth, something like that, and has gotten incredibly great reviews. People are saying this sensational research, incredible, beautiful, beautifully written. Very thick book on the Hollow Earth, in which he is saying all the planets are hollow, but not hollow like the Hollow Earth theory talks about being, you know, massive hollow. No, it's just hollow at this core, and it has to be. The Earth and the other planets have to be hollow at the core for scientific reasons, and so Jan Lamprecht has got a book out on that subject, and so I think there is something to it after listening to him for a couple of hours, and he explains scientifically why the Earth must be hollow at the core, but it's a small core. We're not talking about, you know, a whole world inside the Earth. No, just down at the core, it's hollow, and other planets are also hollow, but I've got one for you, too. We know that Saturn, the planet Saturn, I talked with one of the top physicists at NASA, and he was showing me pictures and telling me that NASA knows that the planet Saturn is inhabited. We know it's inhabited. We see, for lack of a better term, UFOs, some kind of flying objects going into the planet Saturn and coming out of it. And one of the rings is right now in the process of being made. There's some kind of a UFO making a ring, and they've got pictures of it. There's a new ring being made, and it's 99% done, but it's not quite finished. And there's a UFO that's making that ring. And so the whole question was, what are the rings of Saturn? You know. The ancient Jews called their god Lord of the Rings, and that's why, of course, Saturn was Lord of the Rings. But now we're finding out Saturn is actually inhabited. We know that there's life there that's coming in and going out of the planet Saturn. That's a whole question in itself. And on the north pole of Saturn is a hexagram. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but go on the web and type in hex on Saturn, or Saturnian, or Saturn hex, H-E-X, and you'll see a hexagram, which is a symbol for Judaism. Well, of course, but the Jews were worshiping the planet Saturn. Saturn was called Jehovah, or Yahweh. It goes back into the old ancient Sumerian Babylonian religions that were worshiping the planet Saturn. That's why the Jews in Hollywood are still making movies about their god called Lord of the Rings. Extraordinary stuff, you know.
Very.
I don't know. I don't know where you can go with all this.
Jordan, before we let you go, are there any plans on releasing the video conversation you had with the expert on the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've got that, and as soon as I get my website back and get my life back together again, I got a lot of stuff I'd like to, you know, I'd like to be able to show the world. There's so many things I would like to do, but I just don't have the funds to do it. It just costs money to do so many things, and I don't have anything. So I've spent my whole life obtaining knowledge and wisdom and understanding and documents and talking to people. So I really don't have the wherewithal to do it all, and so I got to wait till I can get my website back and get my life back in order. And then I've got a lot of stuff. I've got terabytes filled with all kinds of off-the-wall, strange stuff that people have never heard. Incredible stuff that's out there.
Folks, in case you didn't know, everything that has a Jordan Maxwell name on it has been bought up by some nefarious people, and Jordan doesn't make
That's
a
right.
penny on anything. He doesn't make a penny
Period.
On anything he's produced in
nothing.
The past.
That's right.
So
anything out there has got my name on it. I don't get nothing. The people have bought it all up so that I can't even have my name. They went to Washington. They sent to Washington, D.C. to trademark my name so I can't even use my name. So that's a whole story, too. But anyway, I do have an email. I don't have a website, but I do have an email, and you can give that out yourself if you wish to anybody who wants to email me.
Well, Jordan, if you'd like to let our listeners know how they can find you, feel free, I mean, to give your information if you can.
Okay.
Your website.
Well, I don't have a website. I've got a radio program. It's called the Jordan Maxwell Show, and it's a podcast, mm-hmm. but we're not doing much with it right now for the moment. But it's called Jordan Maxwell Show. There's a bunch of podcasts. But my personal email, if you want to email me, is simply jordanmaxwell@gmail.com. That's jordanmaxwell@gmail.com. However, the Jordan has no A, because the same people who were stealing my name stole all the emails, so the only thing I could find was J-O-R-D-N. Maxwell@gmail.com. So if you want to email me, it's jordanmaxwell@gmail.com, Jordan without the A.
Do you have a PayPal?
I will in a couple of days. So if anybody wanted to donate anything or do anything, just email me and then I'll get back to you, because I really am in need of help to. For financial help to pursue my court case, because I don't have any money and attorneys cost money, and that's why I haven't been able to do anything. I don't have the money to defend myself. And so all my stuff has been taken from me and ripped off, and people are stealing my products. And so I want to be able to do something about that if I can find an attorney and get a lawyer, but it's going to cost money and I don't have any. So
mm-hmm.
If you want to contact me, you've got my email. It's jordnmaxwell@gmail.com.
Yeah, I sent a donation the last time, but on your website, I'm not sure that if you got it or not. But you know, I want to make sure that it goes to you.
If you go on my radio show, Jordan Maxwell Show, that does not go to me. That goes to a different account. But if you want to donate mm-hmm. directly to me, then you'll have to email me, and I'll have to give you something. I'll have to contact you and tell you where to send it, because there's nothing out there now that goes directly to me. So just email me, and then I'll get back to you and tell you where, you know, how to donate to me personally.
And there's another question in the chat room. Lori wants to know if you have a Twitter or if you're thinking about maybe getting a Facebook account.
Well, I think I've got one out there from what I've been told. It's the Jordan Maxwell Show. It has a Twitter and Facebook, but I don't know anything about it. I've never even looked at it. I'm told that there's one out there for the show, but, you know, I'm 73 years old. I don't know anything about the technology of today, and I, you know, I couldn't care less, so I don't know if there's anything out
yeah.
there or not. And,
okay.
and I'm not interested, even if it was. I'm not interested to have one.
Yeah,
but if you want
well, Jordan,
to email me, I'll tell you how to contact mm-hmm. me. You know, and if you want to donate to me, just email me, and then I'll get back to you.
That, and once again, that's jordanmaxwell@gmail.com, and there's no A in the Jordan, J-O-R-D-N, maxwell@gmail.com. Jordan,
okay.
thank you so much for being our guest tonight on N5D
yes,
Radio.
You.
And it would be an honor if we could get you back for a follow-up interview, because I know that both Kendra and I still have a gajillion more questions.
Oh, I know. And I apologize for jumping all around, but there's just so much that we could talk about, you know, in so many different
mm-hmm.
directions.
All right. So, yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Could we get you back for a follow-up?
Absolutely. Sure. Anytime.
Wonderful. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Jordan. And take care, my friend. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye, Jordan. Bye.
Take care now. Well, folks, there you have it. The man, the myth, the legend, Jordan Maxwell. Are you curious about starseeds, walk-ins, or how to find out which star family you belong to? Next week, our guest will be Galactic Master Astrologer Lavendar, who's going to be answering these questions and much more, so be sure to check back. On behalf of my co-host, Kendra Gilbert, this is Greg Prescott from N5D.com. Namaste, everyone.